about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing thing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
isn't
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. At any given moment, you can be near or far from something in space, in time, even socially. All of those are forms of distance. I'm Art Markman.
And I'm Bob Duke.
And we're two guys on your head.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Today's topic is psychological distance, how we experience distance and closeness, and how understanding this concept can help us save money, make better decisions, and build more meaningful relationships.
One of the really fascinating things about a lot of research that's happened over the last 10 years or so is that distance really matters. Imagine I say to you, hey, Rebecca, next year, would you like to go on a trip to Italy? You'd be like, oh, that's awesome. I have to do that. And then the week before the trip comes up, you're suddenly panicked. Why did I agree to do this? What am I going to do with my kid? How am I going to fit all this together? So in the moment, you're worried about how in the world am I going to take care of all this stuff when a year from now, all you were thinking about was how cool would it be to be in Italy? And that's the interesting effect of psychological distance.
A lot of it has to do with how abstract the thing is that you're making a decision about. And you had to use the Italy example because actually I'll go. So I've got some space in my calendar. I'll go to Italy. Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about how your economic sphere plays a part in the way that you experience distance.
This is amazing, right? Just thinking about the way we treat money is an amazing piece
example.
Of this.
Mm-hmm.
So let's shift for just a second and think about casinos, because casinos are some of the world's great laboratories for understanding the human condition. And these days, if you walk into a casino, you can get a card, you load that card full of money, and you can stick that card in a slot machine and then pull the lever. Now, here's the beauty of it. When it pays off, in a lot of casinos, it still pays off in coins. Why is that? Because you're distant from all those abstract numbers that are on the card. And so it's easy for you to give that up. But when you win, you want to win something tangible. That's how they're going to keep you playing at this.
But it doesn't only have to be a casino. I mean, you think about the way most people charge things with their credit card. One of the things that people who want other people's money understand very well is the more immediate the expenditure is, the more unwilling people are going to be to make the expenditure. And that's why if you have financial problems and you go to a counselor, one of the first things the counselor is going to do is cut up your credit cards in front of you and put you on a cash basis and say, well, how much money do you need to live a week? And you get that much money out of the bank and no more. And every time you buy gasoline and when you buy food and when you decide whether you're going to go out to eat or not or all those kinds of decisions, the cash is immediate. It's right there in your face. Whereas everything you're doing on a credit card is as distant as Citibank can possibly make it from you.
You're listening to Two Guys on Your Head. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, here with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. Let's talk a little bit about emotional distance. What's going on psychologically with those distances and connections of closeness with people?
We categorize our social world in a variety of ways, and we bring some people really in close to ourselves. And so if you're part of my group, then I treat you differently than if you're not part of my group.
And, you know, one of the things that everybody understands who is in philanthropy, who's trying to get people to give money for a cause, you don't put numbers on the thing. You show a picture of a child because that reduces the psychological distance and it engages aspects of our humanity that are evolved to respond to that immediacy because these people are now somebody we can connect with.
Having said that, what has social media done to this idea of how we understand and experience social distance?
It's a very shallow interaction that really isn't like being in the same room like we are right now looking at each other and talking to one another. Because what our brains evolved to recognize is the immediacy of others. I mean, right now, you're looking at me and I can see your eyes, you're nodding. I mean, all these things are happening that are creating a level of communication that can't happen on a computer screen asynchronously. And one of the things that makes the electronic stuff so compelling is, again, something that functions below our conscious awareness. And that is that those badges and dings and beeps and all that kind of stuff get our attention on an intermittent schedule. And they lead to reinforcing outcomes on an intermittent schedule. And there are very few things that are as compelling to organisms than being reinforced on an intermittent schedule. Every once in a while, an email comes up that you really wanted to see. And now you are more likely to look when that beep happens or whatever it happens to be. That's less often the case when you're interacting with other people.
What is the research in this field?
One of the kinds of work that people are doing right now is just looking at how do we think and make decisions as a result of this kind of distance. Some of it is, for example, it's much easier to overcome a temptation if you give yourself some distance. So, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, then that single serving carton of Ben and Jerry's just calls out to you and it knows your name. So it keeps calling. So what can you do? Well, give yourself some distance. I mean, the greatest form of distance, of course, is not to have it at home. But if you can't control that part of the environment, there are other things you can do to create more distance. Like imagine that you're giving somebody else advice about whether they should eat that ice cream. Much easier to tell that person not to eat it. Then you should follow your own advice.
Everybody else's problems are always so clear, aren't they?
Exactly.
They are. They're so clear.
Right. But sometimes it's actually useful.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
And people get more creative that way, too.
And you know, one of the things that all of those things that Art's talking about does is it forces us to invest more intellectual energy in a decision rather than allowing our emotions to make the decision.
Which is great. Except in the situation in which the decision you're making is an aesthetic decision.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You know, if you say, well, you go with your heart or you go with your head. Well, I think most reasonable people who think about this with a little bit of distance, getting back to our topic, you know, you should use both. Recognizing the fact that the heart, to use the metaphor, actually it's not the heart, of course, the brain, but the heart is much more compelling because that part of our brain, our emotional part of our brain, that's what led to us surviving long enough to evolve to the point we've become today.
Next week, we'll explore perception and the senses with Drs. Art Markman and Bob Duke. Check out this and other episodes of Two Guys and get more information at KUT.org. We're also on iTunes and at Twitter at @2GOYH. Two Guys on Your Head is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas, and supported by OBGYN North and Natural Beginning Birth Center. For KUT, I'm Rebecca McEnroy.